From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made earlier this week when the city of Rochester rolled out a redesign plan for a piece of land known as Parcel 5. For the past year, Mayor Lovely Warren has supported a plan for a performing arts center on the site, a Broadway theater owned and operated by the Rochester Broadway Theater League. This week, the city announced a new plan that keeps the Broadway Theater, but adds a rooftop performance space, new emphasis on outdoor and green space, and an IMAX-style movie theater on days when the Performing Arts Center is not in use. Mayor Lovely Warren said this redesign comes after carefully considering what the public has been saying. She said, quote, "We have listened to the people, people who want more than just a performing arts center. They want entertainment. They want vibrancy. They want outdoor concerts. So we are going to bring them all in the new Golisano Arts and Entertainment Complex at Midtown Commons," end quote. Now, Tom Golisano has reaffirmed his commitment of $25 million for the project. The total price tag for the plan has not changed, according to the city. It's $135 million. They're not there yet, but Mayor Warren believes they will be. This hour, a conversation about the redesign and the future of one of the most important pieces of land in the city. And my guests include Sandy Parker, who is the former CEO of the Rochester Business Alliance and now the leader of the project team for Parcel 5. I said to Sandy before the hour began, how long? And you said, just a few weeks.
Just a few weeks.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad to be back.
I know there's been a lot to get up to speed on, but thanks for being here to kind of represent the project. And I know there's a lot of questions. Willie Joe Lightfoot is here, a member of Rochester City Council. Just for us keeping score on council, Willie, you are in favor of this project, yes?
Yes, I am. I'm excited about the whole idea of redeveloping Parcel 5.
Very good. Thanks for being here. It's nice
Thank
to have you as
me.
Always. We reached out to other members of council, got a statement from a member of council, Molly Clifford. We'll have some of that coming up. And we also have Ray Matrano, a member of People for Parcel 5. Ray, what is People for Parcel 5?
People for Parcel 5 is groups of business owners, community leaders, Rochester residents that are advocating for a mixed-use public space at Parcel 5. We think it's more inclusive, sustainable, and provides greater social and economic benefit to downtown as a hub, as a neighborhood, as an example for what other neighborhoods in the city of Rochester could draw from, you know, social integration, support of local artists, programming events, making small business opportunities for experimental type brick-and-mortar-less entrepreneurship. You know, it's proven itself as a space downtown. When it snows, you can look, and there's tracks all over it. There's desire paths. It's diversely crisscrossed every day. People going to the bus station, going to school at Eastman, going to CGI for work, homeless people, people of living in Midtown Tower 280. You know, there's so much development around the area, and what I feel, what People for Parcel 5 is, which is a decentralized group, but largely communicates in the same sense that if people are going to be moving to Rochester in the next 5-10 years, they're going to want a neighborhood downtown. They're going to want to work where they can go out and see what's going on and engage with something new every day. And we don't feel putting another building on a place that could become a true Midtown Commons, like something like Franklin Square used to be across from the Central Post Office before the Interloop went through it. You know, that's where people gathered back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. That's where the women's movement was, the labor movement, and Parcel 5 has become that.
Okay. Well, we got a lot to talk about, and I know that part of what Sandy Parker's job is listening to what the community is saying and communicating what the city's vision is on this. You wouldn't have gotten involved if you didn't think it was a good idea yourself, I imagine. Why do you think it's a good
Absolutely.
Idea?
Absolutely. And I do think that we have listened, and just the change in the vision in terms of what this area will become addresses the fact that we're trying to create a multifaceted entertainment center that does include new opportunities for more residential apartments downtown. So we're looking to create an area where we're going to bring more vibrancy into the central city We already have 10,000 people that are living in the city. The issue that we have right now is that there's nothing for them to do. They go to work, they come back into their apartments, and then they stay there. What we want to do is create excitement, create different options for things for them to do so that they can come out of the apartments and really enjoy what the city has the potential to offer.
All right, so there's a lot to work through, listeners, this hour, and I know the phone's already ringing. I promise you, as we go throughout the hour, a little bit later, we're going to get to your calls, but I want to work through some of what City Council has been expressing on this. And so, as I mentioned, Willie Joe is here. What I want to do first is read some of the comments sent by Molly Clifford, who is out of town, but she's a member of City Council, who is not necessarily a yes vote yes. She said she's got questions first that she wants answered. And I think I was reading this week, Sandy, help me out here. I think the city is interested in bringing in a consultant for City Council
yes.
to answer questions. Is that happening?
That is scheduled to happen, I believe, on March 20th.
Okay, so council is going to have a chance to hear from a consultant on this plan. But here are the kinds of questions that council member Molly Clifford sent. Number one, she says, quote, "We have no real price tag for this project. I have heard that the price tag, $135 million, has not changed. But with the recent additions, how is that possible? The lack of detail does not engender confidence." So $135 million, why would that price tag not move at all?
$135 million includes $85 million for the theater and $50 million for the 150 apartments that will be constructed.
Okay, and
that totals $135 million.
So with the redesign, it hasn't shifted at all?
It has not shifted.
Even by doing IMAX or whatever you want to do, the rooftop staging,
right.
No change?
No change.
Okay.
$135 million has been consistent.
Willie Joe, do you feel
yes.
good about that number?
I feel good about the people that are involved in this. I feel good about Sandy Parker is very well respected in this community for getting things done. Tom Galassano is a major player in business, person in our community, very well respected, as well as Morgan and RBTL. I believe that these are individuals that are more than capable of getting this job done. And I commend the mayor and her leadership on this matter. She listened to the people. Let's just face it. I mean, there was an election ran, a very hot and heavy election ran last year on this premise alone. There were press conferences given at Parcel 5 against this. But the people overwhelmingly voted for Mayor Lovely Warren for her second term as mayor with this as one of the issues that she ran on. So clearly, overwhelmingly, the people want this.
I just want to ask Ray Ray about that.
Sure.
Willie Joe, Councilman Lightfoot's right. I mean, the mayor won a dominant re-election, and this was a central issue in the campaign. So do you feel you're representing the voice of the people, or do you think that you're sort of missing it? Is Willie Joe right that they listened and they vote, the people voted for this mayor?
I mean, what I saw in August when City Council held a three-hour speak to council specifically on Parcel 5, over 80 people spoke. Overwhelmingly, it was against any sort of arts entertainment complex being built on Parcel 5 from a local arts organization angle, from a public space angle, from just not being convinced about putting state and money into this. So every month that Speak to Council, people engage this. There's been programming that Rock Citizen, a local political organization, has produced at the Little Theater that was a community conversation on Parcel 5 where folks had the chance to come in, and it had a huge audience. People do events on Parcel 5 themselves. You know, dance meetups meet there. People go there and play music during Jazz Fest when it's only used one out of nine nights of that whole festival.
But do you think the election said anything about this?
I think election culture in general is pretty diluted in Monroe County. I mean, we have closed primaries. You had less than 30% of the eligible voting population participate in the Democratic primary.
But that's the fault of the individuals. That's not the fault of the mayor. That's not the fault of the majority of people who did go out and exercise their right to vote and said that they wanted to vote for change and they were voting for vibrancy of downtown. And I think that's what we saw. I may disagree with you a little bit on that. This is about jobs. 766 jobs, 610 full-time jobs, 166 new jobs for the citizens of Rochester. We're going to talk about getting out of poverty. If we're going to talk about trying to bring this community from the bootstraps up, we're going to have to do development. We're going to have to do something. There's an empty lot there now. And I just encourage people to look at the glass half full on this matter and see that the mayor and her team has been very inclusive in listening to what everyone has to say. And what we're going to do on the 20th, we're not going to be listening to a consultant. We're actually going to be voting whether or not to let this consultant go forward and doing some more questioning concerning the community ideas. Now, of course, city council members have various other ideas that have to be vetted. Of course, but I have faith in Sandy Parker. I have faith in the mayor's team. And I believe that this is about jobs. This is about full-time jobs. This is about vibrancy of downtown Rochester. This is about keeping businesses in Rochester instead of them moving to other cities. This is about millennials. This is about seniors. This is about the inner city, because my barbershop and my shop, they're excited about a movie theater possibility. We just had a Black Panther movie just came out recently. Record numbers of people attending the movie theaters for this movie. Imagine that type of activity happening in our downtown Rochester with the influx of all of that money, restaurants, hotels, bars, the revenue that will be brought to our city. I think this is a good idea. People need to give it a chance and realize that we've listened to the other side and said they want green space. You have outdoor green space, performance stage rooftop, 13 residential towers. I mean, come on, people. This is it. Let's get, instead of shooting it down, let's get behind this mayor. Let's get behind this administration. Let's iron out all the details and let's just make it work.
All right. So a couple things on that. To Ray Ray's point on people speaking to council, again, that's not the entire city.
It's 80 people.
Okay, I'm with you, Willie. I understand the point that both of you are making.
Right.
Council member Clifford did send this in her concern. She said, quote, "To date, there has been exactly one person who has spoken in favor of this project in front of council who is not financially tied to RBTL in some way, and he was not a city resident. To me, that speaks volumes." It doesn't speak volumes to you, it sounds like.
I wasn't on council last year, so I can't confirm that.
But if that's true, is that troubling at all?
If that's true, it's not really troubling to me. You know why? Because I spent 10 years on the county legislature where very few people would come and speak to the legislature. I mean, people are just not engaged that way.
And let me, I think one of the key things on this is I go back to what the first proposal looked like. I have to tell you, I wasn't that excited about it either, that it was just the theater. Mm-hmm. I think what shifted me was the fact that the mayor did listen to people in the community and her constituents. All we heard a lot about green space. There's mm-hmm. green space down there.
Right.
We heard a lot about movie theaters. We heard about multi-use, not letting the RBTL portion of the theater be dark and just not utilizing it.
Mm-hmm.
We have mixed use apartments down there now. So she listened, and I think the other she is just passionate about this and really has a vision for this central downtown area becoming a hub of vibrancy. Jazz Fest would be able to have many events there during the Jazz Fest
right.
week. The rooftop can be used all summer long for festivals and entertainment venues.
I want to know what Sandy Parker says about what we're about to listen to, and then I want to hear from Ray Matrano on this. Your successor at the Rochester Business Alliance, now the Chamber, is Bob Duffy, who was on this program a week ago. Now, he was not talking about Parcel 5 in specific. He was talking about photonics, and then he broadened it out to say that this community has a habit of self-sabotaging big projects, and he's sort of sick of it. I mean, Bob is usually pretty diplomatic, but this is what he had to say about the way the community approaches projects.
When things come to a grinding halt, even those who, and I won't give names, but people who have funded projects for us in the past in government have been pretty much throw their hands up in frustration, like, what's wrong with you in Rochester? We have a history of digging in and battling on things. And you know what? I'm an old school person. Get behind closed doors, battle. But at least have a consensus. Have a sense of let's try this. And I think that through public input and debate and dialogue, we can come up with a pretty good step forward. It's not discounting resistance, but I think we have to get beyond where everything just stops and grinds to a halt.
I want to make clear, Bob Duffy wasn't saying that about Parcel 5. He was talking about that in regards to big initiatives and big projects in this community. And I would assume that this is under that umbrella. Sandy, do you feel that way?
Absolutely. And I think, and I would just echo Bob's frustration, because I certainly had the same frustration in my tenure at at the chamber. One of the things I think we have to do as a community is start thinking big and thinking forward. And repeatedly, one of the pushbacks on this idea is, well, how many times have we brought a performing arts center to city council, or how many times have we talked about a performing arts center? The past performing arts centers that have been proposed is not this entertainment center. This is totally different.
Totally.
It's multi-use. And we have got to start looking ahead, and instead of dwelling on the failures that we've had in the past.
Okay. Ray Remitrano.
I think Parcel 5 is an amazing opportunity to engage Rochester citizens in the way these decisions get made. They don't need to be made by people, by developers behind closed doors. They can be done right here in public. That's democracy. And if we want to encourage democracy in our everyday lives, which most Rochesterians have so little of in their everyday lives, in their workplace, in the ways that they engage civic culture, they could use this as an opportunity to do so. You know, when I look at the recent entertainment complex schematics that came out, the green space that seems to be talking about, which is not the basis of People for Parcel 5, it's more of a commons, less than a park. This is not a park.com. You know, this is Elm Street. We're looking at basically what would be Gibbs Street during Jazz Fest. That's not, I think, a replacement for what a Midtown Commons could be. And this green roof, I'm curious to know what a green roof is and how folks who just stumble upon events at Parcel 5 during Fringe Fest, during Jazz Fest, when local artists put on things there the past few years, how they would feel comfortable. Someone who doesn't have the money to buy something in this entertainment complex, a homeless person, a student, you know, and a family, how are they going to feel welcome to go up to this green roof? What is the green roof?
Willie Joe, when it comes to movie theaters, even just a movie theater,
right.
You're talking about putting Black Panther there, but IMAX is one of the more expensive styles of movie theaters. Can people afford to? Is this a project for everybody?
This is a project for everybody. And let me go back to the democracy piece. We've seen democracy when the people went and voted Mayor Lovely Warren for a second to be mayor for a second term, with this as one of the major things that they ran on last year.
But is
so
this that, a project that,
so,
for everybody?
So that was democracy. So I disagree with that. For everybody, yes, because to me, the movie theater piece, that incorporates the inner city, that incorporates families, that incorporates everybody. You know
how much is an IMAX movie ticket?
I just went to the movies recently. I think it was like $12. But RBTL has done a great job of giving out events for tickets for kids in school. They have a lot of programming that they do currently in the auditorium. Now, the green space piece, there's 11 parks in downtown Rochester. There's Rock. The city has a plan to start redeveloping. They're looking at Charles Carroll Park. That's one of the areas that they're looking at redeveloping and creating the greenery space. There are other spots that are going to be available and around this area that are going to do exactly what Ray Ray's talking about. That's going to have that same appeal that he's talking about. And we have artists and like Dunwoody and different ones who's been on this show before who are a part of helping to graft how Rock the River's going to look. So when you encompass the entire vision, look at the entire vision, and then the entire vision is inclusive to everybody, not just Parcel 5. Parcel 5 is a catalyst to getting us to the entire vision along with Rock the River. And again, there's 11 park spaces that are underutilized now.
Isn't that
in
fair,
our,
right,
in our
right.
city.
Isn't that fair that Willie Joe is saying, if you just look at Parcel 5, you ignore Rock the Riverway, efforts at green space and other places nearby.
Rock the Riverway is amazing, and it's going to be a great opportunity for this city that is so far behind to engage just that. But for those claiming we have an abundance of green space in our city center, our own city center research statistics speak for themselves. We're not even close to being at par with National Parks and Recreations Association recommends 8 acres of parkland for every 1,000 people. The city of Rochester currently provides 2.5 per 1,000 people, a total approximately of 32 acres. You know, it's part of the Rochester Visionary Square proposal that's on thisisnotapark.com that was submitted during the RFP process in September of 2016. And apparently, from what we've heard, wasn't even read and wasn't even considered. It's an amazing opportunity at a much lower cost than a multi-arts entertainment complex would be. It is incremental growth. The first year, you put grass down, see how people walk on it. Second year, you crowdsource, you fundraise, you get donors, you get maybe a mix of state money. If we evolved that Visionary Square proposal, it could be a community of business owners, people making a bandshell stage there. So you can have Jazz Fest 9 nights out of the week there instead of one. Fringe Fest could be there all the time. Artists could bring out 30 people for their event. A group could bring out 100 people, 1,000 people, thousands of people. It's way more versatile on a strata of downtown arts engagement.
Sandy, why don't you like that idea?
The current Performing Arts Center that we have on the table is going to preclude all of that from happening. I think it's going to draw people. I think this is a both and, yes.
How are Rochester artists supposed to rent out a 3,000-seat Performing Arts Center?
You're going to have an opportunity for people to go to the green space on the roof 7 nights a week.
I want to hear more about the green space on the roof.
And I think that one of the things that we are going to be doing,
let's let Sandy respond.
Criticism that we haven't listened, and I think that is really unfair because the mayor did listen. This is a totally different proposal than we had before, and we're not finished listening.
We're just starting.
Are just starting, and there's going to be open forums and open sessions. We are going to listen to people from the city, from the suburbs, to get their ideas in terms of what should this space look like.
How about listening by True Democracy, building a People for Parcel 5 advisory board of people from all four quadrants, students, you know, Rochester Prep students went out of their way to make a documentary on this issue. There's people with things to say, and when they say it into local news microphones, you can tell that they've been misled by their local media. There's not a lot of accountability in terms of teaching. When the mayor gives a proposal, it needs to be voted on by a city council for the sale of city land.
Okay.
Most people don't speak that.
I just heard on this. This is an important point. I just heard from former member of city council Matt Haig, who sent me a note saying, at the time and without any current knowledge of if something has changed, it was his understanding and clear to him throughout the past year that a sale of land requires 7 votes, not 5. So is this going to need 7 or 5 votes?
That's undetermined at this time. We don't have any legislation.
But you're selling land, right?
We don't have any legislation before us right now.
Okay.
That we can determine how many votes this is going to take. I can't answer that definitively until we have a piece of legislation before us. I don't know.
Okay, Sandy, what's your understanding?
I can't answer that either. It's my understanding that until we actually have the legislation, that's what's going to determine the number of votes we need.
Okay, so before I go forward, I want to understand what Willie Joe said about Ray Ray and people who have showed up at City Council.
Yes.
You know, dozens of people.
Right.
And what you're saying, I take the point. I've got emails, Ray Ray, from people who are both offended by what you said and then other people saying, absolutely, Ray, he's making a good point. I mean, there are people saying that, you know, here's an example. This is Vicky from the ABC Streets neighborhood. She says, it's been my lifelong observation that people are much more likely to speak up if they don't like something. That's true of everything from reviewing a restaurant to speaking in front of city council about Parcel 5. The lack of positive speakers is somewhat meaningless and to be expected. The fact that Lovely Warren was reelected is how the people favor this project and how people have spoken. Well, that's the point you're making. But if you're saying that, why not say, why not have nobody come to city council? You're sort of telling the people it doesn't matter who shows up.
That's not what I'm saying.
It sort of is.
No, it's not.
Okay.
What you asked me is, how does that affect me? Does that bother me that people haven't come? What I'm telling you is my history in politics, that a lot of people, because they're working two jobs, they're just trying to keep food on the table, they don't have time necessarily or make time to go to a council meeting, mm-hmm. or a school board meeting or any of these type of meetings there in the evening when they're trying to just get home and feed their kids and take care of the things that they have to do at home. That doesn't mean that they don't care. When they go out and cast their vote for our mayor or the person that's leading this city, when they cast that vote, they take inclusively all of the things that person is carrying to the table and bringing to the table about their vision for Rochester. This mayor cares about all of the citizens of Rochester. She's not trying to shove this proposal down our throats. It's going to be properly vetted. It's got amazing people involved in it. And I think that people, instead of, I agree with Bob Duffy about the other situation he was talking about. Why are we always so quick to shoot something down that's going to help bring people? There's 10,000 people downtown right now. They need somewhere to go. Apparently, they voted yes for this. Some of them, I'm sure. And why would we go against jobs? Why would we go against vibrancy brought back to our downtown city, keeping other businesses here in our local city? Why wouldn't we go against that? This is the time to move forward. We're trying to move Rochester forward. With our children, this is about our children and our children's children. They deserve what we had. We had a Midtown. I was for not tearing Midtown down. Why do we tell it? You know, I mean, we really want to get to the essence of it, but we've done that. So we got to move forward. They deserve what we had.
This is
we
the
had
Midtown?
We had a vibrant Midtown Center City. They don't have that. They got a hole.
Okay, I have to get to our phone calls in a second. One more point that is, I think, crucial here, and this is raised by Councilmember Molly Clifford. Mm-hmm. She says, we don't know where the money is coming from. The governor just gave us $50 million for necessary projects along the river. Mm-hmm. The state is facing huge deficits. Does it make sense to count on the state for funding? Now, John Parkhurst of RBTL said earlier this week, it's his understanding that there is roughly $90 million accounted for. $25 million from Tom Golisano, I guess Bob Morgan, $50 million plus Sandy.
Yes.
I don't know that there has been a single cent publicly committed that I know about in the last year for this. Is there?
There has been. We have, you're correct about the $25 million from Tom, $15 million in new market tax credits, and $50 million from Morgan. We also know that we have talked with other folks. As you remember, there's been a fundraising group that's been in place, I think, since last year.
And what have they raised?
They have not gotten firm commitments, but they have soft commitments. And I think what's happened with that is that the issue kind of died. It kind of went away after the election. And I think the excitement that's around this new proposal right now is sparking more interest. So we really do have, and I think very shortly, that's going to be one of my roles, actually, is to try to go out and firm up some of those discussions that we've had with other folks in the community.
But you got to raise 40, 45 million?
We got to raise 35.
But if you've got to raise 35, whatever the number is,
right,
million, and in the last year you've gotten only soft, not a single hard commitment, why should the community be confident that the money's there?
I'm not saying that we haven't had a hard commitment. We have, but we've not publicized it.
Well, break some news here. The community cares
not
about
it. Not at this stage, no.
But you know,
we will be certainly rolling this information out. But trust me, there really have been some very, very interested people in this project.
I don't mean to press and in a way that is probably somewhat annoying to you, but the reason I think this matters, Sandy, is this community is, Molly Clifford in her note says, we don't want to invoke specters of past failed projects, but
right,
we also don't want taxpayers on the hook for something if this thing is not meeting its projections.
And if this thing, if it looks like this thing isn't going to meet its projections in a period of time, we won't move it forward. But we're confident we are going to meet the dollar needs that
okay,
we have.
Let me turn to Ray Ray, and then I'm going to get your phone calls. Go ahead, Ray Ray.
So as far as shooting things down, the Council Lightfoot and others have commented on, what brings me into this issue, this public discourse, you know, as a Rochester artist, is shooting up the idea of what our neighbor in Columbus, Ohio did in the last decade. You know, they built on the remains of an underused shopping mall in their city center. It transformed Columbus's downtown. That was a 6-acre thing. And, you know, that brought an initial investment of $25 million around the commons, triggering private investment that was an initial investment of $25 million to do the commons and $270 million in retail, residential, and commercial space that has since grown around that commons. It's all over the country that this proves to be a job starter, a private investment starter, arts and culture support. You know, in the Highline Park in New York City, that was opened in 2009, is responsible in $2 billion in private investment, 12,000 new jobs. And that's New York City. But they did that with a nonprofit similar to what People for Parcel 5 would be proposing. They maintain the Highline Park. They're an advisory board of community leaders, business leaders, residents, elected officials that raise the funds to maintain that common space for 98% of the annual operating costs. You know, this is something that would not be an expense to taxpayers, and it would bolster jobs. It would bring people downtown, you know, Columbus Commons, Larkin Square in Buffalo, Pack Square in Asheville, go to Meredith Park in Detroit. Detroit went bankrupt, yet Meredith Park, look it up, has brought so much economic investment into where it was located, you know, and this is not a park. This is not a park.com has so many examples of how this is not just grass with trees. This is a place for people to incubate their business ideas, their arts ideas, integrate with each other. Families who don't share time with each other in our very segregated city will come, come together on Parcel 5 whenever there's an event.
Where's the money coming from to build what you're talking about?
I would recommend looking into the Rochester Visionary Square proposal.
We got $25 million on the table, brother.
Yeah.
$25 million from Tom Golisano.
So,
all right? So we,
but you're, you got to get another $110.
But we got money on the table. We got $50 million given from... I'm not talking about pie in the sky pipe dreams. I'm talking about money on the table. Money on the table actually... We've seen it with Buffalo, how it influxually brings in other investors to the table. So this is something that's been given an amazing kickstart. And I have no disrespect to anyone here, Ray, no disrespect to you.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, in government, that's huge when trying to move projects forward. When you have people that come to the table that are very well respected, willing to put money, and then you have other investors. They have friends, and there's other investors. And Sandy, I'm very confident in her skills to be able to go out to this community and bring other individuals who are on the table when we have almost 80% of the money already there. So I just think, again, people, this is jobs, 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 jobs. Redevelopment, our children deserve to have this. This is for the future, as well as Rock River. And I think we need to be very careful when we start talking about these dreams of things that we can do that other when there's no money for that. OK, the reality of it is we have money on the table. Let's do it. We should be doing everything we can as a community to get by this administration and make this happen.
All right.
I am so glad that you brought up Buffalo, because if you go into downtown Buffalo now, you see a transformed city, mm-hmm. that tackled big projects that people looked forward on. And that's the one thing that we have to do. This project will bring in over 360,000 visitors a year. Tell me another project that we can anticipate getting that kind of mass in central downtown Rochester.
Now, one of our listeners sends me the latest IMAX estimate there, Willie. $16 if you want to see Black Panther and IMAX. Family of four,
yep.
plus popcorn and soda is about $85.
My haircut's $12 in my barbershop, and I'm in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the city, and people are paying it every day.
Do you think those families are going to spend $85?
Absolutely. People who want to go to the movies.
Families from impoverished neighborhoods are going for $85 for a pop?
If they want to take their family out for a good time. I mean, for two people to go to Red Lobster is $100. You understand what I'm saying? But to me, I think that RBTL has done a great job of making sure that they reach out to poor communities. Those tickets are just regular pricing tickets. And now, if I'm involved, which I am, a city council, those are the kind of questions that I would ask. How do we make this affordable to people in my district? So, and I've asked those questions. And those are things that we can hash out. We can have free tickets, days. They do this for Frontier Field. They do this for some of the other projects. I mean, we want to talk about failed projects and people that was on city council. I mean, come on. Let's look at the soccer stadium. This guy has $50,000. That's all he has to pay. And he's got a whole stadium. Those people should be, you know, That's a tragedy to this community. We're not talking about a deal like that. This is not a deal like that. Renaissance Square was one of those type of deals. However, the bus terminal still got built. MCC still got built. We have to move forward, ladies and gentlemen. And this is an opportunity, I believe, to move our city forward.
All right, to the phones we go. And I'm going to try to take a lot of phone calls. We'll do it pretty quickly, and then we'll give our guests time to kind of digest multiple points of view and respond. So here we go. Simone first. Thanks for waiting, Simone. Go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead, Simone.
Hi. So I'm a city resident, and my question would just be, I'm extremely excited about this project getting off the ground. And my question is, are you doing anything specifically to make sure that these jobs go to city residents?
Yes, we are. We're looking at some legislation now. to make sure that any 30-something percent of our MWBE positions go to more of people of color and women. So yes, we're doing that. And then of course, as we're vetting this process, that will be a very key concern for many, I'm sure, of the council members.
There's one of the priorities for the permanent jobs, and we're talking about 166 full-time permanent jobs. That will be those will be allocated on a Rochester first basis. So City of Rochester residents will have first crack at those jobs.
All right, Simone, thank you. Yeah, thank you for the phone calls. Thank you, Simone. There is some excitement for the project. Let me now turn to Peter in Rochester next. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi, I'm going to be fairly quick. My concern is when the facility is referred to as a performing arts center, it is really only one large theater. In our county, we have three theaters that seat more than 2,000 people, the Auditorium Eastman and the Theater in the Ridge Kodak. We have eight theaters that seat roughly between 500 and 900 people, Hostein Lyric, MCC, Nazareth, Robert Wesley and Brockport, SOTA, and Jiva Main Stage. We only have one theater that seats between 200 and 500 people, and that's at the JCC. And in the entire community, we only have three theaters that seat less than 200 people. That's the Fielding Stage, Jiva, Muck, and Blackfriars.
So you want to see smaller theaters, more smaller theaters?
Yeah. And how can you call this a performing arts center if it's only a one big theater center?
We're not calling it a performing arts center. That's the name that we really have to get off the table. We're referring to it as the Golisano Arts and Entertainment Center. The other thing that this project will do, it will free up the Auditorium Theater, which our BTL is planning on reconfiguring so that it will be able to accommodate smaller theater groups.
Okay, but you want to get that name off the table. It still is a performing arts center.
It's an entertainment center.
It's an
arts and entertainment center.
It's a complex for entertainment that prioritizes Broadway, retail, and high-end luxury living.
All right. It's not high-end luxury living.
How much is the rent going to be for one of those apartments?
There will be properties that will be conducive for everyone, so it's not high-end.
But how much?
The medium income for a Rochesterian.
A lot of that has to be ironed out and will be flushed out, but I can guarantee you that there will be affordable living housing for everyone.
Affordability as far as the median income being, what $30,000 a year for a city resident? Is that...
So are you skeptical that this is going to be affordable for
affordable all, right? Housing, from what I've seen from what developers in Morgan and all of that, is not consistent with the realities of this poverty-stricken city. I don't think people who live in most places around the city of Rochester will be able to afford to live in Midtown. And I think it'll affect the future of city residents in the next decade. You know, a lot of this is putting our foot down to negative aspects of gentrification and development. You know, if you want this to be a city of the arts, we need to support our Rochester artists. Broadway theater is exported art. It's not our art. And if I'm going to be able to live here in 10 years, if I'm going to be able to afford to live here as a Rochester artist, mm-hmm. I need to be able to be having spaces, public space venues that bring people together and allow me to access my local arts facilities. You know, top down is no way to develop a community or a city struggling with such high levels of crime and poverty. Comprehensive community engagement is key throughout the process. That's from Silvano Orsi, chairman and president Association, Neighborhood Association. Presidents have weighed in on this. You know,
I just beg to differ. I'm born and raised in Rochester. Okay, I've been through, I think, six mayors. I have never yet to see a mayor and an administration that is inclusive and is open as this particular mayor and administration, especially reaching out to get community input. I have yet to see any other mayor reach out as much as this mayor and this administration has to seek community output. Just to hold back for over a year and to get community input and bring in people like Sandy Parker, who's known to go out and going to listen to people and put together a plan that's inclusive with everyone. but I think that I just differ with your opinion on that matter.
I haven't been reached out to, and many of the people I've been involved with haven't been reached out to. Why not make an advisory board of actual Rochester City residents and people, you know? I mean,
I think there'd be plenty of opportunity for everyone to have input on this project.
But to shape the project, not just that
that's
people...
part of the listening process that we will go through.
Is that democratic, Sandy? I mean, the other cities that shape public space with their citizens, you know, they do it together. That's civic engagement. It's not just top-down authoritarian.
I respect
Tom Golisano gives $25 million. You know, we got to listen to him. What about all these people that could fund Rochester Arts right now on that Parcel 5?
All right, Sandy, go ahead, Sandy.
No, I just was going to say that, you know, I think when we think of RBTL, we do think primarily of Broadway theater. But RBTL does a lot more in terms of just Broadway theater. They do a lot of local theater. They bring in other entertainment, local entertainment, as well as national entertainment into that building. So I think that by broadening this, you know, we're going to be able to encompass a wide variety of arts and entertainment.
How many nights a year is that theater going to be filled with RBTL shows?
I can't answer that right now. I don't know. I don't know what the schedule is.
Okay. I take that at face value. We don't know that yet. And Willie Joe,
yes.
I want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Sure.
When Ray Ray says he's skeptical that real affordable housing is coming, and you don't provide a rent an idea for what it would cost, I want to make sure I understand.
Trust me when I tell you, there are council members who talk about this all of the time, mm-hmm. about having affordable living for spaces for people downtown. And so that is something, again...
And that's happening at Parcel 5.
It will be a part of the conversation and the vetting of the conversation that we're going to have.
Sandy, is that coming to Parcel 5?
It's part of Parcel 5, affordable housing.
Okay. I don't believe it. And as far as RBTL's events, Columbus Commons in Ohio has over 200 events per year. You know, it's something that is not just curated by one organization.
But why couldn't that happen here?
Because a coalition of organizations would not be able to engage a 3,000-seat theater and the rent overhead that costs.
But about the rest of the space outside of that theater?
Go to cityofrochester.gov and look at the recent news release. You know, don't just use your local news media to digest this for you. Go actually read it and look at the PDF. That is Elm Street with a bunch of people in front of a little stage like that happens on Gibbs Street. That's the same thing.
Yeah, but there's
11, could be a
there's
commons
11 other,
that could bring thousands of people.
Why isn't nobody talking about Manhattan Square? Why isn't anybody talking about
Carroll
Commons?
I love to talk about it.
Why is everybody just so asphyxiated with Parcel 5? There are 11 other parcels, inside of our city that no one seems to want to talk about, that are underutilized. Our people aren't going down there. They're not down there doing anything. This is becoming a political piece for people to get involved with, and that's why they're talking about.
But council,
I would encourage people to look at the fact that when we're looking at developing downtown, look at the bigger picture and Rock the River, this particular parcel, and then there's other parcels that are also looking at being developed too. So there are other opportunities to have more bigger greenery areas and more artistic areas for the individuals that have that concern. I think that's going to fit in other pieces of this puzzle. So just look, again, if we don't do nothing, we're going to continue having a big open space with nothing.
But look at this
and,
is
and
something.
That's ridiculous.
Look,
really
at these
think
foot
about
tracks,
that.
Council.
Think about that, people of Rochester. How ridiculous that is to sit and look at another empty hole for another 10, 20 years, and then our children have to go downtown. And everyone says there's nothing to do downtown. Here is an opportunity, Rochester, to do something with some vision, with the right people at the table, the right people that can get the job done. And the people have voted this mayor in to get this done. Let's just get it done. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Let's get it done.
One of the things that we have to do, and one of the things we don't do very well on in this community, is pull in the same direction. We always find ways to throw obstacles along the pathway. We're doing it with this. We're hearing on issues with this. We've done it on projects in the past. This community, if we want Rochester to grow and thrive, like some of our neighbors, Buffalo in particular, we've got to pull in the same direction.
I will only say, I know Ray Ray deserves at least 20 seconds to tell Willie Joe why he thinks it was disingenuous to say you're calling for doing nothing. But I will just say to Sandy, I understand intellectually the idea of obstructionism and how frustrating that is, But we maybe should have had more obstructionism when the fast ferry was on the menu. There are times where you have to really vet carefully. I understand the point.
No
one is trying to be unfair, but I think vetting is important.
I agree with you.
Ray, Ray, quick.
So as far as things going on at Parcel 5, look at these snow tracks. You know, people are already making desire paths through snow that fell just a couple days before I took this photo from the top of one of our Midtown buildings. You know, people are engaging
all be
this.
There. They'll probably all be there having a good time at the outside.
You gotta let them have a minute.
Okay.
Go.
This is a crossroads for our community, and we can make it, and we could exemplify. You know, Manhattan Square Park is not diverse. It's a segregated area of our city, and it's only a couple blocks away, and that's a testament to how disjointed our downtown experience is. Parcel 5 is already proving that it socially integrates with people coming for events that are of no cost, that can't be done anywhere else. The air puppetry show that Fringe Fest put on would not be able to be done in this arts entertainment complex. This is something that happens in public space, and there needs to be a serious conversation on the value of placemaking neighborhoods and how this could be an example for all of the neighborhoods downtown. You know, for people who come to Rochester and say, where am I going to live? Where am I going to go downtown when I bring tourists and visitors? You know, I want to bring them to something that they enjoy. I don't think people say, ooh, I want to live in Rochester because they have that IMAX theater and that Broadway theater right in the middle of the city. They had an opportunity to use this land as a place that is continuing and can be even more so a hub for our city and not manufactured vibrancy.
I think that this is an amazing idea. That's Jefferson Avenue. Have you ever been on Jefferson Avenue? People on Jefferson Avenue think that this is an amazing idea, and that's some of the poorest people in this community. So I disagree with you on that, brother. I think that this would bring all people to downtown Rochester.
And let's not forget the key part here of the jobs that are going to be available because of this project. 166 permanent full-time jobs and 600 construction jobs. That is going to bring more economic vitality to this community.
Okay, I got to get more of your phone calls. This is, in no particular order, Richard in Rochester. Go ahead, Richard.
Hello. Let me just say at first, I respect the mayor. I respect all the individuals who are involved in this project. And because I disagree with him on this issue, means that I'm entitled to my opinion, and grown-ups know how to disagree. I respect everyone who's committed and cares about Rochester, yet what I hear is we're lapsing back into the old Rochester process, a bunch of very select people making decisions behind a closed door, and I would suggest that the people who have vision in this community and who know how to get stuff done are the ones who are proposing for a more open, inclusive process and not rushing into something that appears to be very traditional and is designed ultimately for failure. I've never met a set of projections I didn't like. We can create numbers and come up with things, but then I've attended those city council meetings. And by the way, I do live downtown. I don't sit around my apartment and just do nothing. There is so much going on, and every day things are getting more and more active. There's a crescendo. So what I'm suggesting is that perhaps we return, move the clock a little backward. There was an RFP process. People were engaged. Everyone who submitted an RFP met with the committee that was led by Carlos Carbalata. Something happened. And that's something that happened leaves my nose itching and makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable. And I, you know, I'm not making any accusations, but just from appearances, there's a lot of stuff going on there that doesn't make sense, that doesn't, you know, instill a sense of trust and credibility in the people that are supporting an RBTL theater downtown.
Richard, in 15 seconds, what's one example of something that doesn't make sense? Go ahead.
The thing that doesn't make sense is the hastily called news conference that involved Bob Morgan and Arnie Rothschild while the Galenas were being engaged in a discussion about their RFP. So what I'm suggesting is I attended the Rock the Riverfront yesterday. There's charrettes going on in Charlotte. community is being engaged, and why can't we do that here? What's okay. the rush?
All right, Sandy Parker, go ahead.
I think that we will be listening. We will have plenty of opportunity for you, Richard, and for other folks in the community to come and express your opinion. This proposal is not cast in concrete, but it's a good proposal. It's a good starting point, and I think we have to listen. We do have to listen to the citizens of Rochester, all of them, and I would hope that the folks that are for the project and those that are against the project come out and speak their piece.
Okay.
There's a difference between listening and engaging. We can have creative ways of engaging Rochester artists, Rochester entrepreneurs, Rochester students, Rochester city residents in shaping how this happens. It doesn't need to be we shout and a few group of people makes adjustments to a proposal that don't seem to make sense in as far as what the claims to be about green space are, and realize that we're not asking for green space. We're asking for a true commons where people can come together, go to thisisnotapark.com and dispel some of the reappropriated language that came out with this recent news release. You know, it's read Arian Hoberovitz is Urban Phoenix article on this, you know, like that's a Rochester-based writer who's doing a lot of good work. Go to your next monthly Speak to Council and see Council Lightfoot, you know, and talk to him in person and engage. This is an amazing opportunity, you know. Next Tuesday, March 20th at 6:30, go to City Hall. It's an open mic. It's a chance for citizens to meet Council Lightfoot and other council members, maybe even the mayor who's there. Mm-hmm. You know, you call 585-428-7421. You sign up, you get 2 minutes. Engage, add your voice, engage your city. That's not just for listening. That's for actually acting.
What other initiative?
Got to keep it tight, Sandy.
I will. What other initiative that's going on in this community right now has the capability of 800 jobs? And let's not forget the jobs. Those are important. Our city needs jobs.
Permanent jobs, temporary jobs?
600 construction jobs, 166 permanent full-time jobs.
Okay. And the remarks that Ray was talking about come from urbanist Arian Hoberovitz, who writes a blog called The Urban Phoenix. I'll close with this and let Sandy respond. He says, his piece was titled, "This means Rochester, you're not good enough." He says it's the areas of incremental growth, like the Public Market area, Village Gate, North Winton, Park Avenue, and other organic success stories that continue to be locations of choice for citizens and visitors alike. When we announce that the future of our city depends on ushering in people from outside, we send a clear and unwavering message that our people aren't good enough. When we commit our most coveted parcels of urban land to the proliferation of tourism, rather than listen to the growing crowds at City Council, we are telling our citizens they are not strong enough to lift us into the future. Sandy.
We are not saying that this is the only thing that's going to make Rochester flourish. The various venues that he talks about are very important to the overall community. But it is going to be a drawing point. It's going to be right smack in downtown Rochester, the central area. It's going to be a drawing point, and it's going to create jobs for people that live in the city. Those will be the people that will have an opportunity to get jobs first.
This program takes no position on this issue, but I promise you, people for Parcel 5, members of City Council on all sides, Sandy Parker leading this project, we're going to have more conversations, and I appreciate all of you being here. Ray Matrano from People for Parcel 5, thank you.
Thanks for the conversation.
You got it. Sandy Parker is leading this project now. I'll see you again, I hope.
You will. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Willie Joe Lightfoot from Rochester City Council. Our thanks to Molly Clifford, member of City Council, sending her thoughts. Much more conversation on this issue as we go forward, and more connections next.